Thank you for joining me for the East Valley News. I'm your volunteer reader, Leslie Hunt. Today we are going to be focusing on the news of the past week from Santan and Queen Creek. So if you're ready, let's get going. Our first article is entitled, Whopping Legislative Pay Hike May Go to Voters. This was posted in the Queen Creek Tribune, March 20th, 2025, and written by Howard Fisher. Senator John Kavanaugh said he simply wants to ask voters to ensure that what is being paid to lawmakers keeps pace with inflation. But the measure that the Scottsdale Republican wants to put on the 2026 ballot actually would do more than create future inflationary adjustments to the current $24,000 salary, much more. That's because Kavanaugh crafted his SCR 1003 to be retroactive to the last time voters approved a salary increase. That was 1998. And given the inflation that has occurred since then, voter approval of his plan in 2026 would immediately turn that $24,000 figure into $48,000 or more. Kavanaugh, however, said that increase is justified given the lack of any adjustment in what lawmakers earn in the last 27 years, 28 by the time the issue goes on the ballot. That is what voters wanted us to have when they voted in 1998, he told Capital Media Services. More to the point, Kavanaugh said it's now worth a lot less than that. I do not think those voters wanted their $24,000 raise diluted by inflation to about $11,000, he said, based on his calculations of how the buying power of that 1998 figure has decreased. What voters want, however, may be a bit difficult to discern. Under the Arizona Constitution, lawmakers cannot set their own salaries. Instead, the Commission on Salaries for Elective State Officials is supposed to meet on a biennial basis, and among its chores is to make recommendations for legislative salaries, recommendations that can be enacted only with voter approval. That's how the $15,000 salary paid to lawmakers until the 1998 vote came to be $24,000. Voters did have a chance to boost it since then, with commission recommendations to set the wages at various times between $30,000 and $36,000 in 2000, 2002, 2004, and 2008. All were rejected by voters, so the salary remains at $24,000. Then Governor Jan Brewer refused to name members to the panel for 4 years, saying it was inappropriate to consider pay hikes for elected officials during, quote, difficult times, end quote. She did finally make selections in time for the issue to be put on the 2014 ballot, though she openly opposed that proposal to boost pay to $35,000. It fared even worse than the others, with just 32% of voters approving the plan. Since then, however, the commission has made no recommendations. Kavanaugh said if his measure is approved, it eliminates the need for the commission to weigh in. Salaries would keep pace with inflation without further voter input, though the panel could still make recommendations to ask voters to approve even larger increases. But that still leaves the retroactivity provision in SCR 1003. More to the point, it would be asking voters to approve a salary in the $48,000 range when they had previously, albeit not recently, rejected far lower figures. Kavanaugh said he's not worried that voters will be scared off once they learn the size of the salary boost they are being asked to approve. He said they will understand that lawmakers simply want to keep their pay even with inflation, even if backdating the measure makes up for decades where the voters didn't see fit to give them raises. The proposal has gained preliminary approval of the Senate and now needs a roll call vote before going to the House. As a ballot measure, it would not need approval of Governor Katie Hobbs. On paper, being a lawmaker is supposed to be a part-time job from January into April, but sessions have lasted into June and beyond, and there are legislative hearings and constituent meetings throughout much of the rest of the year. That has made it difficult for some individuals who need other jobs to serve. Most recently, Mesa Democratic Senator Eva Birch, just re-elected to a second term last year, quit last week. Some of it, she said in a statement, was her belief that as a Democrat in a Republican-controlled Senate, she will, quote, have more and better opportunities outside the legislature to work on the things I care about in a way that yields results, end quote. But that's not all. It must also be said that I have been struggling to make ends meet and to find balance with my legislative work and my job as a healthcare provider, said Birch, a nurse practitioner. I know that I am not the first nor will be the last good person to find themselves a casualty of legislative pay, she said. I hope the future will see Arizona lawmakers earning a living wage so that our constituents can be represented by working-class citizens who understand the pressure of raising a family and struggling to make ends meet here in Arizona. Kavanaugh said one problem with the current system is that the outcome of any vote could depend on a lot more than whether lawmakers actually deserve a raise. Very often, the mood of the public, based on other events the legislature's associated with, sometimes determines whether they're for us or against us, Kavanaugh said. Put another way, his plan would make irrelevant whether voters like or hate what lawmakers are doing. Kavanaugh pointed out that Arizonans voted twice in 2006 and 2016 to make automatic adjustments in the state's minimum wage. That has boosted the state minimum to $14.70. The federal minimum remains at $7.25, a figure that Congress hasn't adjusted since 2009. If the voters said inflation's okay for the minimum wage, I don't think voters would be opposed to this, Kavanaugh said. End of story. Our next article is entitled City of Chandler Mulls Campaign to Get Younger. This was posted in the Santan Sun, March 24, 2025, and written by Ken Sain. The average age of a Chandler resident is creeping upward, and that could be a problem for the city's future. It's often said demographics drive destiny, and as an advanced economy, we need young workers to constantly keep us economically competitive, said Micah Miranda, Chandler's Director of Economic Development. Miranda's office is proposing the city council approve spending $150,000 for a digital marketing campaign that would target young families and encourage them to move to Chandler. The city's Industrial Development Authority approved recommending the plan on a 4-0 vote on March 11th. Since 2010, our median age has increased from 34 to 37, Miranda said. Our population is under 18, has decreased from 28% of our population to 24%. So it is occurring, but you know, there's no time like the present to start working on change. City officials say Chandler's median age is approaching 38 this year. Cities provide updated numbers to the Census Bureau every 5 years. The last time the American Community Survey was performed was in 2023, when the city reported the median age as 37.4. Miranda readily admits there are two major challenges to bringing young families to Chandler. There is no land left to build starter homes, and the median price of a home in the city is higher than some neighboring communities. Lack of supply and higher costs are not something families just starting out in life with limited resources are usually looking for. I think a lot of our emphasis will be on areas of the city where housing prices are more affordable, primarily the northern half of the city, where we are seeing a decline in population and age, Miranda said. He said he expects to see new housing initiatives as part of the next general plan, which is expected to go before voters in 2026. Our emphasis and where we're going to be encouraging this is vertically, he said. Condos, townhomes where you can get additional density, for lack of a better term. Boomers who may not need the three-bedroom, two-bath suburban ranch home that we're accustomed to, they're looking to downsize, and we're providing options for them. Miranda said he has not heard of any other city starting a campaign like this before. According to the presentation made to the Industrial Development Authority, the campaign would promote the many benefits of living in Chandler via short videos, social media posts, and digital and print paid media. They have also reached out to three school districts because they are all losing enrollment as the city ages and want young families to move to the area. Quote, on a city level, slower growth and an aging population could affect future labor force availability, consumer spending, service expectations, and sustainability of municipal revenue streams. End quote, the presentation said. Miranda said it makes sense. Younger families starting out in life are buying more things than older families that are well established. From just the city perspective of fiscal and economic reality, young families, young professionals are in the time of their lives where they're consuming. They're buying a lot of goods, he said. Obviously, the city's reliant on sales tax dollars to fund city services. Chandler is at 94% of build-out, meaning there is only 6% of land inside the city's borders left to be developed. Of that, only 2% is planned for housing. The rest is being set aside for employment zones. The median price of a home sold in Chandler was $535,000 in February. The median price represents the exact middle, with half of the homes sold at a price higher and the other half sold for a lower price. Compare that to Maricopa, where the median price was $359,990. Or compare that to Buckeye, where the median price was $414,995. The median price for all of Maricopa County was $495,000 last month. Chandler was $40,000 over that. Miranda said despite the challenge, it's important for the city to try to convince young families and professionals to move to Chandler. You never want to get behind the demographics game because it takes you a very long time then to dig your way out, he said. A lot of advanced economies, which obviously Chandler is, globally are suffering with aging populations because they haven't focused on this. We're trying to be proactive in positioning Chandler as a destination for young families and professionals. End of story. Our next article is entitled Queen Creek Council Approves Traffic Signal Near Frontier Family Park. This was posted in the Queen Creek Independent March 21, 2025 and written by Janet Perez. With traffic volume expected to increase once the Recreation and Aquatic Center opens next week at Frontier Family Park, the intersection of Queen Creek Road and 220th Street is getting busier. As a result, the Queen Creek Town Council approved a $543,000 contract to install a new traffic signal and other intersection improvements. The item was on the council's consent agenda for its Wednesday meeting. All consent agenda items are voted on through one measure and vote. Quote, the need for a traffic signal at the Queen Creek Road and 220th Street intersection was identified in 2024 in response to the development and opening of Frontier Family Park and the ongoing traffic congestion generated by Benjamin Franklin Charter School just east of the intersection, end quote, a staff report stated. An estimated budget for the signal's design and construction was approved in July. In November, a traffic warrant study was completed, anticipating that with, quote, increased volumes of 220th Street with the opening of the new Aquatics and Recreation Center, a new traffic signal would be necessary, end quote, the report stated. The center officially opens to the public on Saturday, March 29th. The $543,417 contract is with CS Construction and was budgeted for fiscal year 2025. Quote, the proposed improvements now include a traffic signal, sidewalk ramps, lighting, signing, and pavement marking improvements, end quote, the staff report continued. Quote, an adjacent roadway improvements of Queen Creek Road by the Hudson Station development have been anticipated and accounted for in the completed design, end quote. The 95-acre Hudson Station is at the southwest corner of Signal Butte and Queen Creek Roads. It includes a 24-acre shopping center anchored by a Fry's Marketplace and pharmacy and an EOS Fitness facility. Another 25 acres will be used for a rental community, and the balance of the acreage will eventually become a single-family home subdivision. If council had voted against the measure, the town would not have been able to use CS Construction on future job order contracts for the signal project. Quote, the result will be time delays to begin construction activity as a formal contract and solicitation will need to be developed and utilized. This means certain ADA-related sidewalk, pedestrian signal, and pavement marking improvements would not be in place, end quote, the report stated. End of story. You are listening to the East Valley News on Sun Sounds of Arizona. Today we are focusing on the news of the past week for Santan and Queen Creek. My name's Leslie Hunt, and I'm your volunteer reader. Our next article is entitled Chandler Unified Case Calls for Tougher Predator Reporting. This was posted in the Queen Creek Tribune March 23, 2025, and written by Ken Sain. A state senator who was also a Scottsdale school board member says a recent Chandler Unified case underscores the need for tougher mandatory reporting laws for predatory behavior toward children. Senator Corrine Werner, Republican Scottsdale, has introduced Senate Bill 1437 because she said child predators are flying under the radar in K-12 school districts. And sadly, what I have seen in some schools, administrators are attempting to handle these cases on their own, at times sweeping the offenses under the rug unknowingly or knowingly, and failing to hold these predators accountable, she said at a March 12th news conference. The bill would clarify current laws on mandatory reporting. Some professions, such as teachers and school administrators, are mandatory reporters. That means if they hear or suspect of any case of child neglect or abuse, they are mandated by law to report it to law enforcement. Werner said SB 1437 is needed because districts are not doing a good job in that regard, pointing to a case at Castile High School in February and March of 2021. In that case, 13 students had come forward with accusations that a teacher, Patrick Power, touched them in ways that made them feel uncomfortable. School officials did their own investigation and then reported it to the school resource officer, who said there was no need for a further investigation. Werner's bill, if approved by both houses and signed by Governor Katie Hobbs, would make significant changes. First, reporting the concern to a school official, such as a principal or school resource officer, would not be enough. Any complaint must be given to a law enforcement agency, and the school officials would be required to stand down to let them investigate. Another change is expanding the number of mandatory reporters. Being added to the list are governing board members, substitute teachers, and school safety officers, said Werner, a member of the Scottsdale Unified Governing Board. In 2023 alone, 39% of all acute adjudicated cases were sexual misconduct with students, Werner said. For context, there were 272 cases adjudicated and 106 were sexual misconduct with students. Senate Bill 1437 was inspired by the numerous disturbing cases that have come to light during my service as a governing board member. Inappropriate touching of students, educators requesting nudes through Snapchat, teachers having sex with teens. County Attorney Rachel Mitchell said she supports the bill. This is important because we've had cases go nowhere because the school improperly handled the initial report, a school official who does not follow the child abuse protocol, Mitchell said. In the Castile case, 5 middle school students made the initial complaint to an assistant principal who interviewed each student himself and then reported it to his principal. The principal then reported it to the district's head of human resources. They asked another assistant principal, who is a woman, to interview the girls a second time because they thought they would be more comfortable talking to a woman about these issues. Most of the touching was not sexually overt. It was touching a shoulder, touching a leg, hugging, grabbing a girl by the hips to lift her onto a table. At that point, they consulted with the school resource officer, who said he did not see anything to pursue from a law enforcement angle. The teacher was given a written warning and told to remain behind his desk when teaching. There was no follow-up or monitoring of the teacher. The Professional Practices Advisory Commission, PPAC, of the Arizona State Board of Education has recommended 4 current and 1 former CUSD official be disciplined in this case. The Arizona State Board of Education is scheduled to meet at 9 a.m. March 24th, and the Castile case is expected to be on the agenda. PPAC recommended Executive Director of Human Resources Jeff Falloon have his certificate suspended for 3 years and must undergo training on mandatory reporting and sexual grooming. PPAC also recommended then-Castile Principal Jason Phillips and former Assistant Principal Ryan Ridenauer be suspended for 3 years and undergo training on sexual grooming. The other 2 officials who are awaiting the State Board of Education decision. Castile Assistant Principal Shalame Woodworth was the woman who interviewed some of the victims and attended the meeting where the decision was made to give Power a warning letter. PPAC recommended she have her certificate suspended for a year and she undergo sexual grooming training. Associate Superintendent Dr. Craig Gilbert's only role in this case was to make a decision on a Title IX appeal from the parents of one of the students. He ruled that since Power was no longer a CUSD employee at the time, the complaint was moot because the district could not compel him to cooperate with an investigation and had no way of disciplining him. PPAC recommended Gilbert receive a letter of censure and take a course in sexual grooming. Gilbert announced in December that he plans to retire after this school year. Power decided to retire in March of 2021 after more girls came forward claiming unwanted touching and other inappropriate conduct. Falloon was in the process of suspending him while an investigation began when he opted to retire. The state of California, where Power taught before coming to Castile, revoked Power's certificates there in October of 2023. Officials there declined to say why, citing employee confidentiality. Power voluntarily surrendered his Arizona certificate. Unfortunately, there are districts within our state that have developed a complicit and shameful culture that have allowed them to ignore, circumvent, or even exploit weaknesses in this current statute, says Katie McPherson, an East Valley youth mental health advocate. It has effectively shielded numerous predatory actors, resulting in many victims with outlooks such as drug and alcohol addiction, drug abuse, broken relationships and marriages, and even attempts of suicide. Senate Bill 1437 will completely alleviate the burden of investigative responsibility from unqualified school administrators for certain types of complaints and place it rightly in the hands of trained professionals. End of story. Our next article is entitled Chandler Resident Vies for, quote, America's Favorite Teacher, end quote. This was posted in the Santan Sun and updated March 24, 2025. This was written by Ken Sain. Chandler resident Sherianne Holtley says even very bright students can struggle, especially if an undiagnosed learning disability is part of the problem. You can talk to someone and tell them that they're real bright, but they are struggling, really struggling in math, said Holtley, who teaches at Eastmark High School in Mesa. I have two brothers that are spatially gifted and the spatiality gifted struggle in general education. They're future engineers. They're the people who think outside the box and stuff. Holtley encouraged one parent to have their child tested because a spatially gifted child is easily overlooked. It is cases like that where Holtley has made her case to be America's favorite teacher. The national contest determines America's favorite teacher through regular online votes. Holtley, who taught most of her career in Tempe, has been in first place in her group through most of the voting, but recently fell to second. She still hopes to make the semifinals. Voting continues through May. The winner gets $25,000, a trip to Hawaii, a feature in Reader's Digest, and a school assembly featuring Bill Nye, the TV personality from the Bill Nye the Science Guy show. Holtley has been teaching for 25 years, the first 21 in the Tempe Elementary School District. However, she is certified to teach high school, and that's what she wanted to do. When COVID hit, I'm all, quote, life's too short, end quote, she said. I've been wanting to teach high school forever, and I'm stuck in the middle school. I didn't mind because I was teaching high school math, Algebra 1, and honors geometry. Holtley said she took a chance and didn't sign her contract and began looking for a high school job. That's when Eastmark hired her to teach juniors and seniors pre-calculus, calculus, and Algebra 2. I really loved that, Holtley said. Those first years teaching in high schools were not easy, however, because of some personal problems. The first year, I didn't realize that my dad was going to end up being in hospice. 6 months after she started teaching at Eastmark, her dad left hospice, something she called a miracle. However, 6 months later, her mother had heart failure. Holtley's mother is part of the motivation in trying to win the America's Favorite Teacher contest. Her family did not have a lot when she was growing up. You know the families that get a gift from Santa? That was me and my family. My mom was like, yeah, that's the only gift you got. Once she was hired to teach, she used part of her salary to support her family. If she wins the $25,000, Holtley said she would like to take her mother on her dream vacation. She wants to go to England, Holtley said. Her great-grandparents came from Kent. She can walk decently. As far as teaching, Holtley said she enjoys working with gifted students and those who are struggling. Her contest profile talks about working with 7 boys at a Title I school who were struggling with math in her 7th grade class. It took nearly 3/4 of the school year and a lot of persistence to get them tested for learning disabilities, Holtley said. 5 of the boys came back with learning disabilities in mathematics. They were placed in programs that helped them succeed. I was so glad that they got tested, but it took till the end of the 7th grade. Why? I think a lot of times that occurs with kids, especially in Title I schools. They think, oh, they're just messing around, or because they're poor, or something like that, they don't really care about school. That's not the case. To vote, you can go to americasfavoriteteacher.org/2025/SherriAnnHoltley. Sherrianne is spelled SHERRIANN dash Holtley, HOLTEY. End of story. Thank you for joining me today for the East Valley News for Santan and Queen Creek. I'm your volunteer reader, Leslie Hunt. Stay tuned for the Arizona Republic coming up next on Sun Sounds of Arizona. If you miss a program, you can get it on demand at sunsounds.org/broadcast info and audio/on demand.